It's time to go out and...
Hey, everybody, from the nightclub at the end of, not so funny tonight, the world. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, joining you on Sunday, the 31st of March, Easter Sunday, 2013. Well, something is risen, but I'm having a hard time perceiving the Christ in a lot of what I'm seeing. This is going to be a very hard night for me, because by Wednesday of this week, there was enough devastating news that I said, well, I got a full show on Sunday, but it has not let up. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, today. There are just some big, big things happening, and taken together, I think they paint a portrait. So I want you guys to hang with me, because this is tough for me tonight. As I live my spiritual and emotional practice, I'm learning more to listen to my feelings and to my intuition. And I had a feeling come over me as I was finalizing the script today, which I hadn't had in a long time, and I recognized it immediately. When I was a policeman a long time ago, I was sworn in as a policeman, it'll be 40 years ago this November. I don't feel that old, but I guess I am. And it has not changed. One of the least favorite things for any law enforcement officer to do is to make a death notification, where you have to drive out to somebody's house and you have to tell them that their spouse, their child, their somebody is dead. And you have to stand there, and you have to be a part of that experience. No cop likes it. And it's probably the one experience of being a police officer that absolutely connects you so more completely with all the rest of humanity is when you have to deliver that. And that's the feeling that I've had, like, all day today. It's like it reminds me of that feeling. But let's wade through this. Now, before we do that, I'm going to make a feeble attempt at humor. Bear with me here. And we may not get through all the bad news tonight, but I think we're all going to see a pretty clear picture by the time that we get to the end of the show. Story went up on Facebook this week, and it was a good, solid news story from Reuters that the two water mains supplying Hoboken, New Jersey, had failed, like, on the same day. So all of Hoboken, New Jersey, in case you haven't been there, there's a lot of people there. It's right across the river from New York City, Frank Sinatra's hometown. A lot of people there were not able to, you know, go to the bathroom. They had no water. Of course, that's covered up. You don't hear those stories, but we find them. And, you know, as I was looking at that story, I said, God, you know, then there was also a town in New Jersey where is it? I'll find it in a second. Scientists plan to check toenail clippings from hundreds of people in Garfield, New Jersey, wherever that is, to determine if residents were exposed to a toxic metal linked to lung cancer, chromium. That's the same metal that Aaron Brockovich took on, and it's very deadly. Excuse me, do you mind if we cut your get your toenail clippings to see if you're fatally poisoned or going to have, you know, your liver fall out or something? But as I was thinking about the people in Hoboken, of course, it's one planet now, who were not able to flush toilets for probably a whole day. That's a lot of shit. I said they probably all wish they were now living in Flushing Meadows. Okay, you can stop groaning now. I mean, it's a good thing you can't throw things at the radios or at your computers. Anyway. All right, let's wade into this, brothers and sisters. There's bad news. It needs to be heard. It needs to be said. It needs to be looked at, and we got to deal with it. Zero Hedge on the 28th had a really good story. We remember the river outside of Shanghai where they found 17,000 dead pigs, and there's all kinds of good stories showing not only were they dead, they were infected, and there was, of course, nothing to see here, folks. But then in another river, in Sichuan, 1,000 dead ducks turned up. Now, pigs and ducks are probably two of the Chinese people's most favorite foods. 1,000 dead ducks, and we're all smelling GMO, sinister island of Dr. Moreau, bad bio. Let me tell you right now, there's nothing coming in the course of this show to tell you that that's not true. All of that's going crazy, but the latest, as the infamous Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge wrote, the latest instance of floating dead arrivals in China, first pigs, then ducks, and now black swans. Five black swans became an object of heated discussion on the internet after the announcement was made. That's in another river in China. Now, we all know, of course, that black swan events, as they were so glibly defined by the people who called all of us who were trying to warn about this, doomers and sickheads, you know, a black swan was defined as a totally unpredictable event, very rare, that can't be planned for or considered. I guess they considered peak oil to be a black swan event. They considered the limits of growth to be a black swan event. They considered pollution to be a black swan. But now we have five turning up in 1 week, and that is just so right on. Well, let's look at some of these things that have happened this week, because it really is bad news. I mean, it's enough to suck the wind out of your sails, but that's the point at which you regroup and see if you can find something else to inflate your sales and keep you moving. President Obama signed the Monsanto Protection, I can speak it, Act. He inked his name to H.R. 933, which contained a provision in there, whatever it was. And basically what it says very clearly is that if Monsanto or Dow or whoever puts GMOs into your food, which they don't have to label now. They tried real hard in California. So you don't get to know. And you develop a third eye, your nose falls off, you start growing fur or wings, whatever, as a result, they cannot be sued. Absolute license to poison, absolute license to kill. And yes, we speculate that, of course, this has been on the agenda for some time, weeding out the gene pool. But, you know, he signed it, and that's blatant criminality on the part of our president. And anybody who believes that Barack Obama has their best interests at heart, go eat some of that food and have a good time. That was utterly offensive. Of course, the NDAA is being used. We pretty much know that. I don't think we've seen the Supreme Court ruling on the National Defense Authorization Act, which allows the president to lock us up without trial, without charge, indefinitely. Say goodbye to the Magna Carta, the Bill of Rights. Okay, let's just roll with this for a while. Let's not beat the dead horses, the overly beaten horses. Let's just beat some more, because there's plenty of them out here tonight. I mean, we're going to get through this, and we are going to get through this together, but we got to hear all of this. Weather conditions in the United Kingdom. Now, we've been, you know, developing several themes across several, if you will, disciplines for a long time. We've been looking at climate. We've been looking at radiation leaks from Fukushima, economic conditions, peak oil. But they're all hitting hard. But the weather conditions around the world are just amazing. I clipped a great many stories this week about what's happening in the United Kingdom. And it became difficult to do. Army is helping snowbound Northern Ireland animals. The sheep are buried. In many cases, the sheep are frozen to the ground and dead. Villagers are snowed in. One village was almost completely buried under like 15 feet of snow. All attempts to deal with this with normal snow plowing equipment have failed totally. Absolutely unseasonable weather. There are naysayers or people who are kind of dense who go back and say, well, it happened like in 1962. And I said, 1962, dude, there were 40% less people and there were abundant resources to rebuild. And you could go mine and do whatever you needed to do. And there was money and there was credit. So in addition to, it's not just a factor of comparing the weather. It's pretty clear. And we saw a story this week that a very credible story that the ice in the Beaufort Sea, which is past the Bering Straits going north between Alaska and Russia, make a right and start going up over way over northern Alaska there. The Beaufort Sea ice is cracking up, and a very credible report that showed up on Facebook this week said that the author doubted if there would be any sea ice left by the end of the summer in the Arctic. That's serious. And even the most As I recall, people like Guy McPherson, who has done a great job of pulling together the studies, and the studies that I have seen or commented on said it might be 2-3 years before that ice was gone. Now, remember, when that ice is gone, the rate of warming accelerates logarithmically almost because there is no white up there to reflect the heat back. And, of course, we are seeing that effect in Great Britain right now, along with all of the other weather anomalies. And I want to hearken back to a study we talked about here, and I don't have the name in front of me. It was on Facebook, that said that as the global warming accelerated, if you imagine the jet streams as being like a sine wave, you know, just like a nice, even up and down wave, the sine wave is becoming compacted. In other words, each peak and each trough is greatly extended vertically, and those are the regions getting affected. And it does really apply. We'll kind of hopefully come back to that theme at the end of the show. But Great Britain is just getting hammered. Deaths jump by 2,500. This is from the Standard, as millions struggle to heat homes in cold weather. Well, this is where my experience came in handy. There were a lot of, oh my God, 2,500 people freezing in 3 days. And I went back to where from the wilderness we were reporting on excess deaths in Great Britain every winter. And I think 2004 was the biggest year I recorded or I was able to track before we went out of business. And it was 50,000 people in the winter of 2004 had to choose between feeding their coin-operated radiators for heat, buying food, or paying their rent. And those numbers haven't changed. So these numbers, 2,500 in 3 or 4 days, is on top of probably the 50 or 60,000. But the British don't tell you that. But the British also don't tell you about a bedroom tax. If you're now, remember, Britain we will call it a socialist country, for lack of a better term. But you know, there's the government's a much bigger nanny there than it is here, and a lot of people on public housing. And support pensioners, all kinds of people. But now there's going to be a tax of 15% of your housing benefit if you have an unused bedroom in your apartment, in your flat. Forget if you have grandkids who come 3 times a year to visit. No, you're going to get taxed. The law is so draconian as to state that children under 10, regardless of sex, must sleep in the must share a bedroom, and children over 16, must be boarded by sex, and you will be taxed. It is crowding like cattle, starving cattle. It is brutal, it is punishing, it is undignified, it is ruthless, but so is pretty much everything else that's going on here. So we have all these people freezing to death, and this story came out, rescue teams dug 50 people out of their homes after an enormous drift. This is from the Daily Mail. This was in Strinesdale near Oldham in Greater Manchester. Britain is just now, their food supply is in jeopardy. Their food supply, the spring crops, the spring lambs are frozen to the ground. Food prices in Britain are going to go through the roof very, very quickly. And we find out today from The Guardian that today is the coldest Easter Sunday on record in British history, in UK history. The Met Office confirms temperatures of minus 12.5 centigrade. That's centigrade. That's 12.5 degrees centigrade below 32 degrees. So that's real cold in the Scottish Highlands, beating previous record of minus 9.8 set in 1986. So Britain has beaten the old record by 3 degrees, and it's the coldest on record. Okay, that's Britain. We only have one planet, so we might as well know what's going on all around it, because as Cyprus certainly shows us, and we will get to that, what can happen there is certainly going to happen here. Shanghai Daily, this has to do now with climate collapse and sudden violent climate change, but also the fact that I really think is starting to sink in with some people that China is poisoning itself. The Shanghai Daily on March 30th, which would be yesterday, Nearly 90% of China's major cities, including Shanghai, have poor or extremely poor air quality, according to a report by the Environmental School of Renmin University of China. 90% of China. And we've seen the pictures and we've talked about the Beijing air quality that is so bad that you can't see, where they're selling cans of air. And we talked, I believe it was last week, about the fact that the amount of pollution on China's beaches has doubled in the space of 1 year. We're killing ourselves. And as a result of what's going on in China, too, especially with the deaths, the cost of pork is expected to rise at the fastest pace by 31% in the end of June next year. It does come back and down to food. And that's really devastating pork prices in China, plus the fact we now see that, I don't know if I got here before, did I cover that aside from the Monsanto Protection Act that Monsanto and Dow have dropped billion-dollar lawsuits against each other since all the gloves are off? They can sell whatever poison they want to. They don't have to test it. And I would venture to say that you probably know what's there and what they're going to do with it. All of the restraints are off. So they've dropped their lawsuit. Nobody can be sued. And it went up on Facebook this week. This was a story that from the Midwest, 191,000 pounds. That's about 100 tons of frozen food. I don't recall what brand it was. If you buy it, that's on you anyway. Was recalled because of E. coli, a threat of E. coli. 100 tons of food. Now, picture that goes onto the shelves of the Safeways, of the Ralph's Markets, of the A&P, whatever, Kroger's, whatever, Walmart especially, and people buy that and eat that, and there is nothing. And also, it was in the same week that we have heard reports of not only horse meat turning up all over Europe, but dog meat in curry, and unidentified meat, the mystery meat, turning up in food products and schools all over Europe. And in China, two men have just died. This is from BBC, dated today. In Shanghai, from an unidentified strain of bird flu. Wrote a lot about that at CollapseNet, at my old blog, MikeRupert.blogspot.com, at FBI, the biowarfare chapter in Crossing the Rubicon, and two men have died, and it is unidentified. But, well, maybe that'll go away, but maybe not. But one thing that has gone away, according to a government report, is 28,000 waterways vanish from China's maps, sparking fears over environmental cost of the nation's economic progress. China is a cesspool. China is probably, it may be, I don't know, maybe Nigeria, but China is hugely toxic. It ain't safe there. And fresh water, we all know, is key. This was published on the 29th of March. Around 28,000 rivers have disappeared from China's state maps, and environmental researchers claim the startling loss is down to the country's breakneck economic progress. Growth at any cost. This is one more thread. All right, it's about time for a song. And this song will take us through to the second song we're going to play. We got two songs tonight. In the second half, I'm playing a new white trash song, which Doug Lewis got ready today. It's called 7 Billion Strong. We're going to try to salvage something at this so that I can leave you guys not being suicidal at the end of the show. But we get through this together, and maybe we can make another bad joke before the show is over. Also on Facebook, the people have been doing great research and putting that to my Facebook page. A video surfaced out of, and it was extremely well documented, it was all official local sources, documenting massive die-offs underway in the Gulf of manatees and dolphins. It was all attributed to the BP oil spill, and that tape has mysteriously disappeared. I paid a tribute to Matt Simmons on that. But today I just saw a story from my home, CBS Los Angeles, up in Malibu, Santa Monica, Southern California beaches. It looked like Matador State Beach, where I spent a lot of time. There are dead sea lions everywhere, thousands and thousands of numbers of animals turning up dead, never seen anywhere. It's a devastating video, and it was exactly like what I heard, and nobody's covering that story about the Gulf. And all these animals are dying, and there is a connection between all of this. Mother Earth is in great movement, and I'll give you this before we play the song. In the now missing story, it was taken off the ENE Energy News website and posted on our page, they say it's been pulled, but there were a lot of people who saw it. And that video, attributing everything directly to Macondo Deepwater Horizon, rest in peace, Matthew Simmons, said that these were county declarations, an unusual mortality event was declared, and this would be in Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, probably Louisiana too, wherever, you know. But they're turning up dead everywhere, the manatees and the dolphins. But then when I watched the video from KCBS TV in Los Angeles today, the county spokesman said, "We have called this an unusual mortality event." So I thought, well, maybe I should look that up, because there's some serious stuff going on. And here's what an unusual mortality event is. According to 16 U.S. Code, Section 1421H, Subsection 6, Title 16, blah, 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 here's what the legal definition is. Marine mammal protection, marine mammal health and stranding response. The term unusual mortality event means a stranding that A, is unexpected, that B, involves a significant die-off of any marine mammal population, and C, demands immediate response. Now, how many of these are going on? So I went through three songs. I had two songs picked throughout the week that I was going to play for the first song. They were very appropriate. One of the last 2 hours before the show tonight, I was struck by one song, and because every word in the song that you're about to hear applies directly to what we are living through collectively together on this planet at this moment. The song, I was believed, written in 1976 by Jackson Browne. But as I looked at the litany of bad news and the cascading bad news today, I said, this is a deluge. And this song is so appropriate and so perfect right now. So please join me in listening to and enjoying Jackson Browne and Joan Baez singing Before the Deluge.
Some of them were dreamers, and some of them were fools, who were making plans and thinking of the future. And with the energy of the innocent, they were gathering the tools they would need to make their journey back to nature. While the sand slipped through the opening, and their hands reached for the golden ring, with their hearts they turned to each other's hearts.
the troubled years that came before the deluge.
is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, here with you on the Lifeboat Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. We'll be right back after these messages. That was from our first album, Double Wide. 3 years old now, New White Trash out of Venice Beach, California. That was one of the, I guess, one of the title songs of the album. We never really picked one for that. But it's done well, and saying a prayer seems to be a good thing now. Seems to be useful and probably more useful or productive than us, everything else everybody's trying. Anyway, coming back up for the second half of the show, Gary Noel talked about it right before I came on, and he did a great job with it, but it bears mentioning. Alternet this week published an article by Ellen Brown, who's been very, very good, very, very solid in this, and this article oozed credibility. The sourcing was in place. The documentation, the documentary evidence was in place. And here's the title of the story. Think your money is safe? Think again. The confiscation scheme planned for U.S. and U.K. depositors. And what Ellen Brown revealed was that in December of last year, geez, as we approached winter solstice of last year, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and the Bank of England agreed in principle and laid out in the document the fact that the same kind of confiscation, forget what name they put on it, is certainly in place and applicable to be used here. The mechanism is already in place to seize your accounts. To recap what happened in Cyprus, the EU made a bold move to confiscate what it turned out to be 30% of all the deposits held in Cypriot banks over 100,000 euros. The problem is that the Russians all got their money out through branches in London. I wonder how that happened. But the Russians are pretty smart. So now the Cypriot levy now is going to go up to around 60%. Imagine 60% of your pension fund, 60% of your savings, your checking account. That's over 100,000 euros, but a lot of pension funds, they better be over that, is just going to be levied. That's to make up for the money that they didn't get to steal from the Russians. So this is bold, brazen, bald-faced, bullshit robbery of human beings in broad daylight, covered by the media. And nobody is safe now. And it is coming to the point where if you have any money in the bank, you just keep the account solvent to the minimum amount just to, you know, needed to pay your bills and write your checks and, you know, hold it in cash, whatever. It's long past time to buy gold. It's long past time to, you know, stock up on your hard goods. But banks ain't safe no more, because in this article it was spelled out very clearly that the FDIC has said, no, your deposits may be insured up to $200,000, but our insurance won't cover you for a levy if it's the banking system bailing itself out, stealing your money. So FDIC is not going to help you, neither is the Bank of England. But everybody in England knows that already. I mean, all the people on the dole now are being forced to crowd together like, it's not quite the Warsaw Ghetto yet, but give it time. I'm sure that they'll sneak up on it. Okay, now, let me see what else is going on around here. Good grief. Okay, now, in terms of the open criminality, I gave up, and I had done so much really good work studying economic stuff and writing about it for a long time. It's just moot to me anymore. It's just nonsense. So we had these huge LIBOR lawsuits. I mean, because none of the economic crimes have been prosecuted. None. None, none, none. But a judge, according to Reuters in a story published March 29th, judge dismisses most claims in LIBOR lawsuits, ruling in favor of big banks. I mean, just out and out dismissed it. Boom. But that's okay. John Corzine's still out running around with the money from... I mean, nobody's been prosecuted. They're just out in the open. They don't care. They just don't care anymore. And gee, I'm shocked there's gambling going on in this establishment. Zero Hedge put up a story. Cyprus president's family transferred tens of millions to London days before the deposit haircuts. I'm shocked. We should be shocked if we find anybody honest out here. We should be shocked if we find any public official doing what they're supposed to do. Good grief. From Britain's Housing Federation, let's go back to this bedroom tax here for a minute. The bedroom tax, welfare reforms will cut the amount of, this is from the official British Housing UK website, welfare reforms will cut the amount of benefit that people can get if they are deemed to have a spare bedroom in their council or housing association home. This measure will apply from 1 April 2013 to tenants of working age. Power to do this, blah, blah, blah. Children under 16 of same gender expected to share. Children under 10 expected to share regardless of gender. Disabled tenant or partner who needs non-resident overnight care will be allowed an extra bedroom. All claimants who are deemed to have at least one spare bedroom will be affected. This includes separated parents who share the care of their children and who may have been allocated an extra bedroom to reflect this. Benefit rules mean that there must be a designated main carer for the children, blah, blah, blah. Couples who use their spare bedroom when recovering from an illness or an operation. Parents whose children visit but are not part of the household. Okay, well, maybe that'll cover custody. Okay. Shared custody. Disabled people, including people living in it. How much will people lose now after all those exceptions? The cut will be a fixed percentage of the housing benefit eligible rent. The government has said that this will be set at 14% for one extra bedroom and 25% for two or more. So if you get $100 a month, for your housing, that's just to make it easy, and you have an extra bedroom, you lose 14%, and if you have two, you lose 25%, regardless of what it's for, and the incentive is obviously to cram people closer together. Now, we have some more stuff that's that I'm going to go into here before we play our second song tonight. It's a new white trash song. Al Jazeera. It's amazing how stuff that happens that's devastating in New Jersey. I noticed the story about the Hoboken water mains was appeared on the Reuters British site. Great. That tells the people in America a lot about it. Al Jazz has just reported a major, and this is a huge spill, actually. After an Exxon pipeline ruptured in the U.S., Exxon has shut the 1,400-kilometer pipeline near the town of Mayflower in the state of Arkansas. There's some unbelievable photographs of just oil flowing through the streets. And, of course, we know that there's sinkholes and there's fracking and there's earthquakes. And I keep coming back to the line in the Before the Deluge, they were surprised by the magnitude of her fury in the final hour. Well, we've been begging for this. It's the Pegasus pipeline, 50 centimeters. And pipelines, of course, are leaking all over the place. And then, of course, you wonder about this absolutely stupid Keystone pipeline, which is probably going to try to come into being if Mother Earth doesn't stop it first to run the dirty oil from the tar sands productions in Alberta down to the Gulf for refining. Give me a break. All the fresh water is being used. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the seven states that are losing water, and then I'm going to try to weave a thread here. But this is kind of a good setup for the new song from New White Trash's, a new song from New White Trash's new album, Inner Reach, which we're like mastering one song at a time because we don't have the money and we're getting them done. And that doesn't seem to be important, and we're okay with all of that. But we have some great music. And out of this project that we did in this crucible of cold here this winter called Inner Reach, this particular song is called 7 Billion Strong. Doug Lewis wrote most of it. Chris Weygaard's in there. I'm singing some backups. And it's a really cool song, but it kind of begs the question. As we look and feel the situation, deteriorating at breakneck speed around us. This is only going to get worse a lot faster. And bear in mind what I've written many times about the dark night of totalitarianism and oppression and all of this descending all at once. It will pass. There's not enough energy to maintain it. This is a phase of collapse. But the question remains, and this was the fundamental question, I think, raised by the Occupy movement, which I was very proud to be associated with. There are 7 billion of us, and it's the 1%. It's the 1%. But as it looks on all fronts, as though the darkest of the dark nights are descending in terms of totalitarianism being poisoned by corporations, having no right to protest, to sue, to stand up for ourselves. The question remains is, if there's 7 billion of us, and only 1% of that is them, why are we so unable, seemingly, to stand up and correct this? And that is the big question of consciousness. That is the big theme of consciousness, which Graham Hancock so eloquently nailed on the head. But it's actually what I've been saying all this time, too, as I talked about Change Your Mind in the documentary Collapse, finding the 100th monkey the battle is for, human consciousness. So here's a really kind of fun little song. Maybe it'll put a little fire back in your sails, put a little coal in the furnace. And we'll regroup after this song. It's called 7 Billion Strong from the new White Trash album, Inner Reach. Here we go.
Young soldiers fighting in a war. They don't know who they're fighting for. Men in blue. Suits on every street, a valley deeper than the ocean to cross. Find your way when the way is lost. The middle's gone between the two, the 99 and the one of two.
Time will take it for you if you don't take a stand. Occupy everything on every land. And by the way, we are 7 billion strong. It's time to move on.
We're sleeping people on downtown trains and lawns. We're sweeping people down, down the green salon. One man hoards and holds in greed, while children die hungry faced down in the street.
Fact. Time will take it for you if you don't take a stand.
Fact.
Occupy everything on every land. And by the way, we are 7 billion strong. Minus 1%.
Fact.
It's time to move on.
Fact. Every page you turn.
Fact.
Time to move on. Every page you turn.
Fact.
Time to move on. Every page you turn.
Fact.
Time to move on. Every page you turn.
Fact.
Time to move on.
Time will take it for you if you don't take a stand. Occupy everything on every land. And by the way, we are 7 billion strong. Minus 1%. It's time to move on.
Strong. If you don't take a stand, 7 billion strong, 7 billion strong, 7 billion strong.
Never mind nothing. When everything's in play, don't hold your nose, the smell won't go away. The light is bold and in plain view, between the 99 and the one of you.
Time will take it for you if you don't take a stand. Occupy everything on every land. And by the way, we are 7 billion strong. Minus 1%, it's time to move on.
Strong.
That was 7 Billion Strong from New White Trash's new album, not finished yet, but in progress, called Inner Reach. One of about 18 or 19 songs we completed. Well, didn't complete, but we wrote and got them recorded some, and here over the winter in the San Luis Valley in Colorado. If you want to hear that song or any of the other New White Trash's song, which is like our way of putting our emotion and sharing the spirit that will help to get us through this transition, at newwhitetrash.com, newwhitetrash.com. And if you like the song, you can download it for free. You can play it, you can listen to it. If you'd like to contribute, if you think the song is worth something, you want to help us mix the album, there are options there on the website. We'll take anything from $1 to $1 million. We don't care. It's all up to you now. What do you feel in your heart? Anyway, that's some of what we've been doing here over the wintertime coming into spring, and it kind of fits. And we've got a couple of songs in the work. I know we have money to get a couple other songs finished and out. And I'm really looking forward to those because it's pretty clear that the Muse was syncing us up pretty clearly with the events that are taking place around us. So, the horrible weather around the world, but we have to come back to one of the key issues aside from climate change. And there's a few other odds and ends, bullet point disasters and problems that I'll get to at the end of the show. But in the United States, seven states are running out of water in a horrible way. The drought is persistent, and it helps us to see this. This is from 24/7 Wall Street. That's a news source that's credible that you see quite often on the World News Desk at CollapseNet. Seven states are running out of water, copyrighted March 21st. So this is maybe 10 days old, but this is good to put in perspective just to remind us all that we are sharing. There's no place to run anymore. Okay, seven states. You live in one of these states? The seven states running out of water, and that is not an understatement. That was from U.S. Department of Agriculture. This number seven is Oklahoma. Percent of state in severe drought, 83.2%. Percent of state in extreme drought, 56.7%, fourth highest. Percent of state in exceptional drought, 9.7%. Wyoming. Percent of state in severe drought, 83.7%. Percent of state in extreme drought, 54%. Percent of state in exceptional drought, 10.1%. South Dakota. Percent of state in severe drought, 86.3%. Percent of state in extreme drought, 67.5%. Percent of state in exceptional drought, 20.1%. Colorado. Colorado, percent of state in severe drought, 89%. Percent of state in extreme drought, 48.1%. Percent of state in exceptional drought, 21.2%. Number three is New Mexico, percent of state in severe drought, 89.9%. Percent of state in extreme drought, 49.9%. Percent of state in exceptional drought, 4.3%. Kansas. Percent of state in severe drought, 96.4%. Percent of state in extreme drought, 64.6%. Percent of state in exceptional drought, 21.4%. And the worst, Nebraska. Percent of state in severe drought, 100%. Percent of state in extreme drought, 96.1%. Percent of state in exceptional drought, 76.4%. And in the midst of that those enormous devastating climate change impacts, climate collapse impacts, global warming impacts, we find it advisable to waste millions of gallons of fresh water, to turn it into steam, to wash Canadian tar sands, bitumen, to turn it into something that we have to refine with energy that we can burn in cars. We choose to frack using fresh water that we poison, the water tables that we poison. To heat rocks deep under the soil to one-third the temperature of the sun. To frack them, we pump in toxic chemicals and destroy all of that fresh water. And you know, you really look at all of this and you really get the perception, you get the understanding. It's clear that we're in a at a whole new level of things now, because any pretense of operating normally, ethically, is gone. You have to be more delusional to accept anything that the mainstream media says, that President Barack Obama says, that the United States government says, that the banking and economic system says. It is open warfare on us. And I guess from a historical standpoint, if I live long enough to step back, I might say that what we are at now is the beginning of the die-off, especially because of the unheralded, corrupt, dirty actions regarding GMO materials in food, the poisoning of the food supply, the Monsanto Protection Act, and, of course, all the other criminality that's out there that the U.S. government just doesn't give a damn about. The U.S. government, Benito Mussolini, fascism ought more properly be called corporatism, because it is the perfect merger of power between the corporation and the state. And on top of all of that, there was a this was published today, this afternoon, as this deluge was rolling in. A significant accident at Arkansas nuclear plant kills one. Public not in danger, but the plant has apparently been scrammed. This was from Channel 5 News at a local Arkansas station, which reminds us that we have 440-some active nuclear reactors that are in various states of degradation now, losing control. Fukushima has not been controlled. This has just been a really, really hard week. Now, the good news is that we will probably all live until next week, but we got to digest this, because I'm convinced I've never seen so many hard stories in one week as long as I've been doing this, and I'm convinced that it's going to accelerate from here. That's what the deluge means. That's what the tsunami means. So we need to prepare for that. And I guess I'll kind of wind up with what I found to be a pretty important exchange today. A woman wrote, "Mike, what do I tell my daughter who's planning on going to college?" Don't laugh. But then you have to chuckle. And, you know, I kind of wrote back something that I thought was a direct inspiration, actually from Spirit. I said, tell her to forget about college. And go to yourself and ask yourself where any of the things that you're really concerned about really apply in the face of all of these things that are happening so quickly around us. And I wound up writing back saying, what should you teach her? You should teach her to live in right relation with all things. Because if you are living in right relation with all things, then you are ready for anything. And I think that's probably one of the biggest truisms of all spiritual paths that I've studied, the one that I'm living now. And the lesson that I believe we are all having crammed down our throat, and we may or may not get it the last minute. Remember, miracles can happen without our permission, and that's kind of what we're hoping for, because if we're strong enough spiritually to contain the knowledge and awareness of all of this horrible, evil, dark stuff that's happening on the one hand, and hold our hope and expectations for the future on the other, we sharpen the edge of our consciousness, which means we'll be back next week with Charles Eisenstein. You will not want to miss this right here on the Lifeboat Hour. I'm Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth. I'll see you next week. Good night.